All right, we got you guys here.
Welcome to the show in plain sight, Jeremy, Kentucky, on Republic Broadcasting Network. Please go to republicbroadcasting.org, smash the donate, send the fundage to keep free speech alive. Mail your check and money order payable to RBN 2251 Double Creek Drive, Suite 302, Round Rock, Texas 78664. Call in the debit or credit card to 1-800-724-2719, extension 3. This is your Thursday night broadcast. And you know that we have on Thursday night many guests that could be showing up. But one guest in particular is the hard-hitting red pillar, the heavyweight champion of all red pills.
I must break you.
Oh, Iman!
Right, our Thursday night show, the William and Jeremy show. William Repellum, welcome to the show, my friend. How's your week going?
Thank you, Jeremy. I appreciate it. And I was laughing, but I was on mute. And I was coming tonight. I feel very serious tonight. Like, I've just got a lot I want to get through. I can't help but laugh when we do that introduction all the time.
Well, audience, consider yourself broken by the right hand of red pills smashing into your jaw and fracturing it. So what kind of red pills do we have? You sent a lot of great clips. I'm assuming Mike has those. And I watched.
Yeah, I don't know if we'll have a chance to get through every single one of them, but they're mostly pertaining to Larry Fink, the creepy Jew at the top of the food chain who owns BlackRock and controls all the has controlling shares of 10 to 15% of all the major corporations in the United States, and is, you know, saying in this video that we have to force, if Mike, we could play the video, I think it's only like 1 minute long, where Larry Fink is talking about forcing everybody, forcing behavior. So, you know, and we're going to get into what that behavior is. That's the LGBTQ agenda, the sexualization of your children, the mutilation of your children. That's the theme tonight. Is going to be on Larry Fink, the ESG. We're gonna do an article about that, environment social governance, which is the social credit score infrastructure that's being incentivized to all these corporations that Larry Fink mostly owns, the controlling shares of. And how they're, trying to establish prestige by, you know, like flies attracted to poop. These corporations are attracted to Larry Fink's ESG social governance kudos bag.
Yes, ESG. You will comply with climate change regulations or you will not be able to play ball in the global market. That's kind of the bottom line on that. Now, Mike's saying he doesn't have clips yet. Let me just let me go over some terms. If you want to send those to Mike, let him load them up. Yeah. And I'll go over some terms while you guys are doing that. So I think a lot of people try to describe the system that we're facing. Communism, cultural Marxism. I mean, I can see why people would say that. But this is some sort of a weird system ruled by corporations, Jewish dominated. And as you mentioned, Larry Fink and BlackRock, especially in the last 3 years, have pretty much bought up everything. They've dominated corporations. I mean, you can Bud Light boycott, you know, you can boycott Bud Light, or you can Bud Light boycott. But, and maybe you can drink some beers from Europe and Munich. But, you know, if Larry Fink owns shares in all of these different companies, you know, it's like you boycott one and the money just goes to another one. So that's why they're not afraid of boycotts. They're not afraid of losing money in column A because they can get money over here in column E. Not to mention, you know, B through F or whatever.
Well, yeah, Jeremy, you bring up such a fantastic point with that because Larry Fink in one of these videos here that I sent over, I think it's a second one, he mentions that BlackRock's lost $4 billion because of the consequences of the ESG initiative. But that they gained $23 million because of it. So that's exactly states the point. He goes into this in the second video I sent over, but if we can watch the first one, which is 1 minute long. And also I forgot. Let's just watch the video.
Yeah, I'm just going to bring up a point here. What we're facing is, I think I like to call it neoliberal Bolshevism. So neoliberal, as opposed to classic liberalism, neoliberal is forcing trannyism and faggotry down your throats, and the worship of third world black people being poured into your country. And Bolshevism, in that the tactics of the Bolsheviks 120 years ago or 115 years ago was basically like strong arming, like gangster type tactics. They set policies that are vague, and they can change these policies and the way they interpret them. That's why they're vague, like anti-Semitism. Well, what is that? Well, it changes every day or every hour. And they can change them based on how they want to enforce them. It's a strong arm tactic where they can set the rules. And when you step out of line, you know, they crash down. And this is what Larry Fink means by he's forcing this on you. He's pushing this from every avenue. So if you got the first clip, Mike, I think I've talked long enough.
You now make a point of that's an investment criteria for you.
Well, behaviors are going to have to change, and this is one thing we're asking companies. You have to force behaviors, and at BlackRock, we are forcing behaviors. 54% of the incoming class are women. We added 4 more points in terms of diverse employment this year, and what we are doing internally is, if you don't achieve these levels of impact, your compensation could be impacted. Okay,
we're doing the same thing.
And so it's just you have to force behaviors, and if you don't force behaviors, whether it's gender or race or just any way you want to say the composition of your team, you're going to be impacted. And that's not recruiting, it is development, as Ken said. And ultimately, it's still going to take time, but I am just as much shocked as Ken is that we have not seen more opportunities, and we're going to have to force change.
Okay.
Maurice, so that's exactly what we're talking about. Are the conquerors. I'm trying to pull up the... You know, that's what came up for me. We Jews are the conquerors. Nothing you can do will satisfy our demands. That's Larry Fink for you right there.
Well, this is why we can't call it communism, because communism is the state ownership of means of production and controlled economy. That's not controlled by the state. And these measures aren't enforced by the state necessarily. Sometimes, in some instances, you can say that they are. But these are forced by corporations. In other words, you lose your job if you don't comply. That's what he means by enforcing. You know, just like in the COVID measures. I mean, largely the vaccine, when it was a thing, they're not doing it as much now. Corporations were enforcing that by threatening your employment. The state wasn't coming in and making you take vaccines at gunpoint, in other words. So we're facing something totally different and new. This merging of corporations and state. Your comments.
Yeah, Jeremy, if it's okay with you, I'd like to read the book burning debate in the Bible Belt. And this is the parents don't want their little kids to be exposed to the books with mature sexual themes. Now, this is the crux of what Larry Fink is saying we have to force behaviors for. So if you don't mind, I'll just read this article, get through it before the break. Is that okay?
Yeah.
It won't take that long, probably like 3 minutes. So this is up from the American Free Press, and it's by Mark Anderson. It's called The Book Burning Debate in the Bible Belt. Parents organize to remove hypersexualized book from public libraries. Brought to you by Larry Fink, and the man who wants to change behaviors and force behaviors and tell you what's acceptable and unacceptable behaviors. And the acceptable behaviors are cutting off your children's genitals, sexualizing your children at a very early age, so they can control them later on. LGBT, all of this. So let me read this. Nature to be commanded must be obeyed, wrote Francis Bacon, making a sound philosophical statement that the English statesman likely never realized would constitute an obstacle against those who promote modernity. What the hell am I saying? Francis Bacon was talked about in the book. He was a Freemason that Manly P. Hall talked about in his book. Is my side note, by the way. The name of the book. Manly P. Hall's book. Okay. All right, let me go on. I'll remember. Modernity is a media-promoted, education-sanctioned worldview that denies there's an objective reality and therefore flouts the natural order. Hyper-modernists push decadence, anything-goes ethics, and hyper-individualism while often denigrating tradition and specifically the Christian moral order. Accordingly, modernity undergirds the belief there's no such thing as age-appropriate children's literature. Amen to that. Therefore, books on LGBTQ plus being pedophilia, issues, even books that explicitly describe sexual acts and quote-unquote exploration, such as fisting, right, what they call exploration, fisting, they teach to children, involving minors and children, should, with a few, if any, questions, be displayed in tax-funded community libraries and in tax-supported libraries set up within the public schools and the elementary, middle, and high school levels. Thank you, Larry Fink. Book banning controversies. In Prattville, Alabama, a local mother, Heather Mann Reese, sparked a challenge against apparently illicit children's books on display at the local library. For the past several months, a growing number of Prattville residents have been calling for the Autauga Prattville Public Library and the Prattville City Council to remove certain books with LGBTQ plus content. The news and commentary website Alabama Political Reporter noted on May 30th, it all started with the pronoun book. Another local mother allowed her son to check out that book, assuming it focused on basic grammar. You see how it happens? You see how they boil the frog? You see how they can normalize everything? People think that these things are worded in different ways, and they think that they're normal, and then they find out that they're not, but then it's too late. They've already been exposed to it, and then they keep shifting the Overton window over and normalizing things. They're doing this now with pedophilia. Another local mother allowed her son to check out that book, assuming it focused on basic grammar, but came to find out the book indoctrinates children with a subjective view that he or she are interchangeable terms. One might call a woman who self-identifies as a man a he and vice versa. While the book mainly consists of illustrations, it opens by asking, "How do you know what someone wants to be called?" The answer continues on the next page. Ask. The book shows illustrations of different people who could be called he or she, irrespective of their actual anatomy. Reese and other parents identified 6 books to immediately submit to the library authorities for reconsideration, with an estimated 80 books in all being reviewed for content by the parents' group. The book in question are all about youth sexuality, whereas in the other U.S. communities, some popular classics such as The Great Gatsby and Charlotte's Web have been under banning threats.
Wow.
6 books in the initial Alabama complaint, besides the pronoun book, include Yes, No, a children's book on sexual consent.
Wow.
Should there even be such a book? Bye Bye Binary, a children's book on gender expression. Calvin, a children's story about a girl who identifies as a boy. Being You, a first conversation about gender. And Alice Austin Lived Here, a book for ages 12 through 14 about a non-binary teen exploring quote-unquote identity. Starting the challenge at the library itself, Reese met with the APPL director, Lindsay Malam, who disagreed with Reese and the other parents. Reese was quoted by APR as saying, "I told her about why this is biblically wrong and listed off various scientific evidence and reading I had done on why these books were completely inappropriate for children." But Milam said, "Not all parents feel the same way," and refused to move the books off the public shelves, nor would she move them behind the circulation desk. After filling out a reconsideration of materials form, Reese achieved limited results with the library board. So the city council that funds the library and oversees the library board was the next step. At her first council meeting in May, Reese spoke publicly for the first time. The 6 books being presented are, quote-unquote, filled with false ideas about gender and force children into inappropriate conversations about sexuality, she stated. 100% agree. And while parent Matthew Clark, president of the Alabama Center for Law and Liberty, suggested several options, saying the city council has the authority to have the books sequestered in their own section or pass a resolution to, quote unquote, declare these things a public nuisance and order their abatement, the city council had largely agreed at press time not to exercise its authority. Wonder why that is. Were they paid off? Meanwhile, Angie Hayden, who has a gay son and opposes the parents' group, complained that a small vocal minority is trying to censor the library's offerings. Really? Or is the LGBTQ plus community the actual vocal minority, with the parents' group representing the majority? I think this radical vocal minority has energized the tax dollars of communities across the nation, from New Jersey, South Carolina, Texas, Florida, to Missouri, Utah, and a few other states where book banning controversies are flaring, to push the books of publishers whose products are sexualizing children. The repetitive tactic, of course, is to play the victim and protect your misdeeds, project your misdeeds onto your opponent in order to mask a cultural offensive against traditional values in places like Alabama, within the Bible Belt. Again, by Mark Anderson out of the American Free Press. So there you have it. Thank you, Larry Fink, for your filth, you vile, disgusting, psychopathic pile of garbage that needs to be wiped off the face of the earth.
And so here's how the force, this is how the enforcement works. So these parents, if they rally at a school board meeting against these books, they'll be placed on a watch list, on a terrorist list by Merrick Garland. That list will be given to the ADL, in which all of the places of employment of these parents are found out, and their employers notified, and then their jobs and livelihoods threatened. All right, so they don't even have to use state power. It would look really bad if the state came in at gunpoint and forced this, but nothing really is said if just these parents lose their jobs. That's just one of many ways that they're forcing this down. We are up on the first break, I do believe. So let's take it, and we'll come back on the other side.
Excited to have you as part of the Wild Pastures family, and we look forward to bringing you the pasture-raised meats that you and your family will love. Now, we started Wild Pastures because so many of my clients would tell me they just couldn't find high-quality pasture-raised meats, and even when they did, it was so expensive that they couldn't afford to eat it regularly. Now, I'm not talking about the bottom-of-the-barrel healthy meats that have claims like natural or free-range or even cage-free, terms that were actually created by the industrial food industry to make us feel all warm and fuzzy about buying their low-quality products. I'm talking about truly nourishing pasture-raised meats, the kind that you'll never really find in a grocery store. Our farmers are doing things beyond organic. Our beef is 100% grass-fed and grass-finished and raised on pastures free from chemicals and other pesticides. Our chickens are 100% pasture-raised, where they get their natural diet of grass and forage and insects. We will never settle for free-range, which is actually one of the most deceptive terms in the chicken industry. In fact, less than 0.1% of the chicken consumed in the United States is truly pasture-raised in the way that ours is. And our pork is 100% pasture-raised as well. So if you care about where your food comes from, then you have definitely made it to the right place. As a Wild Pastures member, you'll be supporting the most highly principled farmers in America and getting the most nutrient-dense, nourishing, and sustainable meats in the world. I'm confident you'll love being part of our mission at Wild Pastures, and you will really love the delicious, nourishing meats that we're going to deliver straight to your door.
Visit republicbroadcasting.org and click the Wild Pastures banner ad. Secure a shipment today. Beef, poultry, and pork. Raised the way nature intended.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company? And it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks.
When pigs fly!
The new EaseOff Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The EaseOff lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive. Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the EaseOff? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com, EazeOff.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. EaseOff LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
Hey, we're coming back to the William and Jeremy show on your Thursday night broadcast and in plain sight. So, William, we got some more clips and some more commentary. Kick it to you.
Yeah. Mike, can we play the clip? Larry Fink with some good commentary from an unknown bro. And I like this guy. He's on his own channel, and he was just commenting on Larry Fink's.
Lunatic Larry Fink, the Jewish lunatic Larry Fink. He's behind all that, and Musk says, ESG is the devil. Let's go. He called the framework that evaluates companies' social and sustainability standards the devil. Billionaire tech boss highlighted a report showing tobacco stocks scoring more highly than Tesla on ESG ratings. ESG metrics score publicly listed companies based on environmental social governance. Why, ESG is the devil. Let's go. ESG is a set of standards meant to assess business practices in relation to sustainability and ethical concerns. An increasing number of financial market participants use ESG ratings based on guidance for social responsible investing. Yeah, see, this is like the strong arming of the business world to go woke, all that stuff, like making them go woke, do the environmental shit. This is Fink saying that they're doing.
It's just, you have to force behaviors. And
force behaviors,
whether it's gender or race or just any way you want to say the composition of your team.
There it is.
You're going to be impacted. And that's not just recruiting. It is development, as Ken said.
How do you force change, though? I mean, Larry, BlackRock has really been in the forefront of the ESG movement within corporate governance and a real leader. And yet change is so slow. So what is...
White people are not being reduced enough. Gender quotas, they're not being hit, guy. Need more black Kang women, huh? We need more black queens.
Ken as well. How do you force change when it is so incremental and so gradual? How do you do something more radical? Have you thought about that? Has the board of American Express thought about more radical things we could do to enhance diversity?
More radical.
Because it has to be imbued in the culture of a firm. It has to be talked about. It has to be shown. Behaviors across the entire firm in every region have to be similar. And every citizen of the firm has to understand what is acceptable behaviors and what are unacceptable.
So this crazy-ass Jew boy is trying to enforce this agenda on every single company. I mean, he like Soros, believes he is God. You know, he really thinks he's God. And he gets to dictate rules to all business. He's trying to be a government. He's trying to be the government, right? He's trying to be a shadow government. It's kind of what BlackRock is. It's like a shadow government. He wants to enforce these rules on other companies, and they're doing it through kind of the banks, right? So Jew boys like Fink, he's not a banker per se. He's like kind of he's a money manager, right? Because BlackRock's just an investment vehicle. But there's evidence that banks are actually doing this too, where they're like withholding loans to companies if they don't meet certain diversity targets and quotas, and then you have government policy on top of that. So they're all getting in line, and this psychopath globalist is trying to run the world, trying to rule the world. He wants to rule the world for Judaism, for Tikkun Olam. We're going to repair the world for Judaism, make everybody gay, make everybody leftist, and make everybody hate the whites, right? Is that what Judaism's about, kid? Making everyone hate the whites and love the gays and love the minorities, he's a dangerous threat.
Well, that's exactly what Judaism is about. It's about exactly what he said. I couldn't have said it better myself. And it's also about abortion, aborting babies, aborting fetuses, using aborted fetuses for different things, torturing and maiming children, cutting off their genitals, blood libel ceremonies have always been pervasive throughout Judaism, why they've been kicked out of so many countries. Judaism is the satanic religion of the world. I don't know what came first, Satanism or Judaism.
Well, Judaism definitely. Notice the lingo of Fink here. I mean, in both clips, you know, this is a change that must happen. I'm paraphrasing. And you're going to resent us for it, but we're going to make it happen anyway. What does that remind you of? Maybe Barbara Lerner Spectrum?
Yeah.
Europe is going to.
We can play that quick 30-second Barbara Lerner Spectre clip. That would be worthwhile, I think, because she's echoing exactly what Larry Fink said, just like Jeremy says. Yeah.
No, that's the thing. I mean, these are changes. They're going to happen. We're going to force them to happen. You're going to resent us for making them happen, but deal with it. Basically what they're saying. And look, even if, you know, this makes you want to go get some guns, doesn't it? Let me Fed post for a minute. Go get the guns and show up at the rally, at the school meeting or whatever. Well, then they just bring in hard power. Just like they did in 1957, integration at gunpoint. And that was 1957, like, pro-white people in the guard. What do you think they're going to do now?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm all about doing what needs to be done, but we've got to pick our battles and we've got to pick our time. And the system right now is way too powerful to respond in force. A lot of people may disagree. There's avenues that we can use. There's definitely avenues that we can use to protest this. But like you said, with the ability for them to get people fired from their jobs, people just don't want to act. They don't want to stand up. They don't want to do anything. So,
you know, Jeremy, we have a platform for speech and speaking, and we have to make sure that we focus on the most important things. And I think this is one of them. We can get distracted by the LGBTQ agenda and just go off on that without bringing in the Larry Fink thing. And that's why I'm dovetailing them both together tonight.
Excellent points. Back on the other side of the break.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network.
I think there's
Network.
A resurgence of anti-Semitism because at this point in time, Europe has not yet learned how to be multicultural.
Einstein once said, "Future medicine will be the medicine of frequencies." What did he know? Imagine you hear ocean waves caressing a beach, or a favorite song from the past, or the trickle of the babbling brook. All of these are sound frequencies that positively affect us. Terahertz is a soothing, healing frequency that has been proven to resonate at the same frequency as healthy cells. It penetrates the body and stimulates new healthy cell growth. Want to diminish muscle aches, joint pains, and experience a greater sense of well-being? Tired of spending money on short-term remedies that never seem to work? Soothing, healing, relaxing terahertz frequency is now available and as handy as flipping a switch. Terahertz technology is changing the course of what we were taught about how to maintain our health and well-being. To read more about this amazing breakthrough and to order your terahertz frequency wand, go to naturalearthmedicine.com. That's naturalearthmedicine.com.
Subscribe to the Freedom Times monthly newspaper, published since 1985. That's right, 1985. The Freedom Times pulls no punches and observes no sacred cows or taboos. The perilous times we live in are too critical for anything but honest discussion of America's plight. The Freedom Times is the antidote to the lies and distortions of the fake news media. There's no better way to inform and enlighten Americans than by reading the Freedom Times each month. New subscribers may sign up at the special rate of just $29 for 1 year or $55 for 2 years. Subscribe online by going to AmericanFreedomNews.us or mail your subscription to The Freedom Times, P.O. Box 218, Wildwood, Pennsylvania, 15091. That's The Freedom Times, P.O. Box 218, Wildwood, Pennsylvania, 15091. Support America's best patriotic newspaper and one of the very few left by becoming a subscriber to the Freedom Times today.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee.
Hemppaste.com/RBN. Free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for hemp paste at republicbroadcasting.org and visit hemppaste.com/RBN.
The show, William and Jeremy on the loose. And you know, this country has not yet learned to be multicultural and accepting of faggots and trannies and pedophiles, and that force is going to have to be done, and Jews are going to be resented for that. Does that remind you of anything, Mike?
I think there's a resurgence of anti-Semitism, because at this point in time, Europe has not yet learned how to be multicultural. And I think we're going to be part of the throes of that transformation, which must take place. Europe is not going to be the monolithic societies that they once were in the last century. Jews are going to be at the center of that. It's a huge transformation for Europe to make. They are now going into a multicultural mode, and Jews will be resented because of our leading role. But without that leading role and without that transformation, Europe will not survive.
You know, children in America have not yet learned to be transgender and accepting of all genders and cutting their parts off. And Jews are going to be a huge part of that, of forcing that onto the people through Larry Fink. Anyway, William, you had something to get through before we go.
I'm going to read an article, ESG, A Means of Absolute Control, by S.T. Patrick in the American Free Press. Powerful companies embrace environmental, social, and corporate governance. All right, so this is a good article. Okay, don't take too long. Environmental, social, and corporate governance, ESG, sounds innocuous on its face. It's a streamlined way for corporations to stay socially conscious, as most corporations now have allocated more resources to charitable causes and social initiatives. However, upon closer look, there appears to be a determination to force the implementation of the core of the Green New Deal upon companies, governments, and consumers nationwide. Whether citizens support it or not appears inconsequential now. It's coming in the form of mandates shrouded in bureaucracy. Like many supposedly socially conscious initiatives, ESG will be about controlling access to the business world. From demanding adherence to manipulating markets to limiting access to the stock indexes for companies that do not comply. It could even limit access to financial capital, which can be the backbone of any business's plans for expansion. The process for control is called greenwashing, but the green in greenwashing isn't only the modern reference to environmentalism. It's the green of financial capital. At the top of the pyramid pulling the strings of ESG is BlackRock, Larry Fink's multinational investment company, along with State Street Corporation, financial services, and bank holding company. Vanguard is the leading shareholder in both BlackRock and State Street, but Vanguard is itself a bit of a mystery. Yes, which is a side note, Vanguard is a private equity company, which means the shareholders are not visible. According to Aaron Vaughn at Innovation and Tech Today, Vanguard has a unique structure that makes its ownership more difficult to discern. But many of the oldest, richest families in the world can be linked to Vanguard funds. Why is Vanguard simultaneously dangerous as well as expansive, and why is their mystery troubling? Together, Vanguard and BlackRock are the two leading shareholders in Time Warner, Disney, Comcast, and News Corp. That is four of the six media companies that own 90% of American media. Vanguard and BlackRock together own 18% of Fox, 16% of CBS, 13% of Comcast, which is NBC, CNBC, and MSNBC, and Sky. 12% of CNN and 12% of Disney. ESG is not only about how corporations do business, it's also about controlling what you see as information and the way you think about that information. Corporations, however, are not trying to avert their glare from Vanguard and BlackRock. Instead, they are courting them. As soon as BlackRock appears as one of your shareholders, your company stands out from the crowd and gains a huge amount of prestige. See what I said about the flies on poop? French journalist Grégoire Favet wrote, "When you are Larry Fink, you can talk as equals with the director of the IMF or head of state. Mr. Fink has already been received twice at the LSE Palace, i.e. the French White House, since the election of Emmanuel Macron. It's like the difference between being a Rhodes Scholar and securing a regular college scholarship. There's prestige that comes along with being a Rhodes Scholar. There's prestige that comes with being an ESG approved. One of the means of control will be the signing of ESG scores. Doing well in these ratings can mean lower interest rates and large-scale loans for smaller corporations and eventually nations. However, this will be no different than the predatory loans so freely given in the past post-Cold War rebuilding of the Third World by organizations like World Bank and the International Monetary Fund. The loans will have sturdier strings, and those strings will be pulled ultimately by Vanguard and BlackRock. In these ways, whoever pulls the strings of Vanguard and BlackRock will be stronger and more influential than most nations. The President of the United States will have less power than the CEO of BlackRock." Well, that's already true. It can be argued that this is the case today. Though the ESG initiative is portrayed as a greenwashing of corporations, the environmentalists have looked behind the curtain to discover the truth at the top. Environmentalists now protest BlackRock offices on site, and former execs have resigned and written essays about the fraudulent practices. The greenwashing behind ESG is most likely also temporary. It's the cause du jour. If the cause was anti-terrorism, as it was after 9/11, the same strings would be attached to a company's acceptance of anti-terrorism measures. In 3 to 5 years, you can be sure that some level of security measures, quote-unquote, installed by all the companies who want to raise their ESG scores will be dependent on acquiescing to the measures to stop, quote-unquote, fake news and, quote-unquote, domestic terrorism, such as us reading this article. There is a fear that the oncoming wave of artificial intelligence will also impact the financial industry. There will be no decisions made by people. Global financial managers like Vanguard and BlackRock will dump initiatives into the AI, which will then approve and deny the ability of a corporation to move, borrow, and act in a very binary yes-no way, totally dependent on acceptance of the standards set by BlackRock and Vanguard at the top. It's a social credit score for businesses, one that will eventually apply to people wishing to do the same things in their lives. ESG may be temporary in name only before the public relations blowback is so devastating that it will be renamed and rebranded. Yet the concepts aimed at the global control of markets will continue. When financial corporations become rulers and masters, governance becomes a sideshow to the masses working to benefit the top. ESG is a high-speed rail system to the world, and it's coming. And it's not coming. It's here.
Yes, Larry Fink will be key in forcing you to go green and cutting your boys' penises off. So, and he's going to be a leading role in that, and he'll be resistant to that, but it's something that must happen. Are you ready to go to calls, William, or do you guys some more?
Yes, it's something that must take place. The psychopathy of that whole, that must take place. And you notice Barbara Spector's head as it's going, and it must take place. This is pretty much every Jew that's promoting this this horror. It so must take place.
We got Paul and Dan in the wings here. Let's bring on Paul. Paul in California, next Dan in Washington. Cue him up, Mike. Paul.
All righty. Yes, sir. I had a really couple of funny things to say, but that long read kind of put a little chill on it a little bit. So, yeah, I mean, the most important thing of all that verbiage is it's already here. Okay? Let's face it. I mean, it's just a matter of degree, and it's a matter of how many people are talking about it, but they've already shown, you know, what they can do. I mean, how many countries in the world, how many governments opposed the vaccine? You know, I could go on in this manner. But the main reason I called, I wanted to say, we got to change William's moniker, you know, from William the Red Pillum to William the Fed Pillum, because I heard him say, you know, Larry Fink, this, that, and the other, should be wiped off the face of the earth.
William.
Yeah, what do I have to say about that?
I'm continuing my reaction, please. I must say I'm quite proud. I'm actually right now pinning the Iron Cross on the lapel of your field gray tunic. But I should caution you that wiping somebody off the face of the earth could be against statutory law. I'll have to check on that. And so let me give you the finer art of Fed posting. What you need to do is to speak in absurd metaphors such as this. Larry Fink is a fine man. He's a sterling example of a humanitarian. He should be given a bouquet of flowers and served breakfast in bed. Now, you say that, and people, the Nazis out there will really know what you mean, but what is it that you said? It's not unlawful, and it's not anti-Semitic. See, I hope that was helpful, William.
Yeah. Unfortunately, you can't put the cat back in the bag. You can't put the genie back in the bottle. So
it's on the airwaves forever.
I just have to double down.
So Our friends over at American National Radio might come up with a nickname for you, William. Paul, I think yours is put him against the wall, Paul. I'm pretty sure.
Do
you wear that badge with honor?
Well, I mean, you know, let's face it. Firing squads, I think, are underappreciated and underutilized. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, I mean, once the correct people take power, I mean, through legal process and yada yada, you know.
They want to force our behavior, do they not? Haven't they made clear they want to force our behavior? So, what would be wrong with us forcing their behavior? Be careful what you wish for, Juden. Are you listening to me, Fink and Peter Hotez? I actually, you know, I've been hearing his name recently, so I went online and looked him. I just put in picture of Peter Hotez and. Something about the guy. He's just punchable. I mean, is he not just punchable? So I just want to challenge both Larry Fink and Peter Hotez to a no-holds-barred brawl in the octagon for charity. Me, Paul in California, 6'1½", 178 pounds after a full meal, against both Peter Hotez and Larry Fink at the same time. It's going to be a fist-a-flying fist-a-rama. And I'm going to be betting on myself. There you go. I've been watching all those Rocky Marciano videos from back in the day when he fought Ezard Charles or he fought Jersey Joe Walcott. You want to get inspired, look at some of those knockdown dragouts back then. That's what I got for you guys tonight. I enjoyed your banter back and forth mostly.
Yeah.
Thank you. We got Dan coming up next. If you want to hang out, Paul, we can interact with Dan. Dan in Washington. Come on the show, my friend.
Hey, I just called to say a great debate you set in motion there. That was really good, informative. That was classic. Good radio right there with Patrick Slattery and you. And I forgot the guy's name.
Jeff Nyquist. Jeff Nyquist. You know, all of Jeff's fans think that he won the debate, and Patrick's fans think that he won. But here's the point. We got Jeff to admit that Jews dominate the American government. And his explanation for that was because they deserve to be dominate because they are oppressed or they were oppressed. And then, you know, we also got him to admit that Jews dominated in the oligarchs in the 90s in Russia, and that they dominated in the Bolshevik Revolution. But, of course, he had an explanation for that, is that the KGB, the communists, put up the oligarchs, and the communists put up the Bolsheviks in order to do collectivization and put a Jewish face on it. So, you know, that guy was really intelligent. This might be a backhanded compliment, but he's not to be underestimated. He has a spin on everything. That's why I picked Patrick to debate him, because, I mean, both of the men had vast knowledge. I mean, they can just rattle off these details of history from 100 years ago and not blink an eye. So the main thing that I wanted to do was get the discussion on the table. And on Wednesday's John Moore Show, the third hour was just nothing but a debate on Jewish power and a discussion of it. So I think that was a good thing. What do you think, Dan?
Yeah. No, it was great. And, you know, I mean, there's details. Like, wasn't one of the first laws the Bolshevik passed was anti-Semitism would be punished by death. You know, and I mean, it's so... But, you know, one other thing they didn't even talk about was the neoconservative movement. And that's why that guy will never get it. Like you said, he's a Sean Hannity, because he won't see the connection between the Reagan conservative BlackRock corporate world and Jewish power either. You know,
my stance is he does see it. Yeah. My stance is that Jeff Nyquist, he sees it. He told me that he read half of Kevin McDonald's book, Culture of Critique. And this man's an intellectual. He's not a child. He sees what it is, and he's purposefully being a gatekeeper. He's wanting to stop people from talking about Jewish power, and he's wanting to say it's some kind of, it's literally out of, like, Marvel Comics universe, like there, Hydra there controlling everybody.
Sorry to interrupt, right. But there could be an alternative theory here, and that's, I think we've all met people that are highly intelligent, so-called intellectually or academically, but there's also a big streak of stupid that runs through them. In other words, just, you know what I mean? Like a naivete about the nature of the real world. I've known such people, extremely intelligent in terms of schoolwork, academics, you know, but a lot of that depends on how much they have absorbed and believe what they were told from books and classes, okay? Where I think us three and Dan as well, so there'll be all four of us, I think we all know a score. We know what the real world, I mean, and the perfect opportunity was missed, the one show, I forget which one it was, where Jeff Nyquist brought out the comparison, the contrast with the Presbyterians. Presbyterian this, or what if it was Presbyterian blah, blah, blah. And the perfect response to that would have been, oh, but Jeff, it's not Presbyterian, is it? Okay? It's never been Presbyterians, is it? It's like an absurd thing, you know, which I've said before on South Koreans or the Nigerians. See, you're using the absurd example because it's clearly not Presbyterians. It's over and over and over and over again. And it's not simply because they're in power. That was the other thing that was not really brought out and hammered home with the sledgehammer of red pilling. It's not because simply they're in positions of power, is it? No. It's the behavior that they engage in. That's the issue.
Yeah, and he wasn't racially aware. He was kind of he sounds like he's an anti-racist, right? So he accused Patrick Slattery of racism because of
it's
Germany's racism. in August.
Yeah, he seemed to have no idea about white genocide, which I find hard to believe, based on, because I was very impressed with the materials that he was familiar with. He was familiar with the players in Bolshevism, Zinoviev, Lenin, Trotsky, and other commissars. But he seemed to have no compunction about the Jewish part of it, and even denied it completely. It wasn't the Jews at all. The one thing that never came up in the debate, which there wasn't time for, was his purveying of the Holocaust hoax. That would undercut his entire thing right there, put a massive hole in his argument. And obviously his listeners don't know anything about that either, and so they think he won the debate. Now, I did like how cordial and amicable the debate went, and I did have a lot of respect for his knowledge of history. So I was one of the best debates I've ever heard on RBN, frankly, and I look forward to more of them, hearing more of them with others, and I'm glad that he accepted and came to the table.
I agree.
I would not join in those who would welcome more of those type of debates. To be honest with you, I think it was completely disingenuous. The most important point that you made in all of that, William, is when you said you find it hard to believe, okay, that he wasn't really in tune with the white genocide agenda. And see, that's the important point we have to keep in mind with this guy.
Everything he said was the poor Jews are so persecuted, yeah. So that's why they get to do what they do.
But I was going to say, he claims to not be racially conscious, but he uses race when it benefits him, because he said that when Patrick brought up that the leading commissars that did the collectivization against Ukraine were Jewish Bolsheviks. Jeff's answer was, well, yeah, because Slavics can't enforce that against other Slavics.
Unbelievable.
So then all of a sudden now race matters.
Right.
And here's the other, exactly, that's correct. And this is a perfect, what you call like a teachable moment, because he did so many times take it from the particular or the specific then back to the general, right? So in other words, the undefined, so the communists, right, the leftists, the Bolsheviks, these are the general terms, the undefined terms. Jew is specific. It's a very particular ethnicity or race, which is well understood throughout history, right? A Turkic, Mongol, you know, with white admixture and some even Negroid admixture has not just been postulated, it's been shown genetically. So this is how they've always been regarded as an alien race. So when you talk about the Jews owning the media, then you can't say, oh, but it's communist propaganda. See, that's just not just disingenuous. It's basically academically and logically ridiculous. And I don't believe these listeners for a moment. I don't think they're real. I don't think there's that many listeners that thought he could have won the debate unless they are very, very academically shallow people.
Yeah, it's like I hear his point of view on like the Trinity Broadcast Network on kind of the Zionist Christian TV kind of point of view, like let's save the Jews in Ukraine and let's help the Jews, build their temple. And I don't know if he is that part of, if he is religion, that religion or not, the Zionist Christian, but it definitely sounded like he was from that viewpoint of that. But and like you said, he didn't think of Jews as a race, even though Jews themselves worshiped themselves as the race, you know. So he kind of got slattery on that and said, well, you make them sound like a race. They're not a race, they're a religion.
The fun of it, just a quick little comparison I think everybody can relate to is the Mexican race, okay? The Mexicans are mestizos, and you can clearly see there's a huge variety in the way Mexicans look. And once it's pointed out to you that they're an admixture of Spanish and Portuguese with indigenous Indians, with slaves, with black. And then once you know this and you put it in your mind, then you can clearly see, especially from what they call the crime photos, the various what you call, you know, there used to be blogs of, you know, Fugitive Watch and all that, where you see all those Hispanic faces. You just look down them and you see, oh, that one is definitely more Spanish, oh, that one's definitely more Negroid. So, but they regard themselves as a race, and we can clearly see that no matter what they're composed of, what the composition is, they're clearly not Northern European whites, okay? Yet, the FBI and these other, the Department of Justice conflates non-Hispanic whites their crime statistics, which skews them even more, otherwise they would be even more overwhelmingly black and brown crime. But a lot of times they include non-Hispanic whites with whites.
Well, Judaism as an ethnic group, too, is why the Bolsheviks killed so many Christians. I mean, I think that's why they were atheists, killing every preacher and religious person,
right,
in Russia, you know, because they said, well, we're not a religion, I'm just ethnically Jewish, haha.
And just remember, you know? And just remember this too, you can't tell a Christian from looking at them. So what they killed, who they killed, is white people. In other words,
right,
you know, point to people and tell me who the Christian is. You can't do that, but you can kill white people, and that's historically, Christians are, have been regarded as, Christians are white people, and vice versa, white people are Christians.
Gentlemen, we're at the end
one
of the show. I appreciate it.
One thing to be pressed on is what countries have the power of AIPAC, because that's what he compared everybody else to.
Right.
Yeah. Well,
yeah.
At the end of the show, thanks a lot, guys.
They don't have to register as a foreign lobby. That's, you know, thanks.
Right. Good night.
Thank you, guys.
Guess the classic.
Hello, hello, hello from beautiful Colorado. My name is Samuel Jung Kay, and I am currently the lead shilajit hunter and master herbalist for Colorado Shilajit Company. In this video series, I will be discussing what we believe is the greatest of all adaptogenic superfoods and the single greatest natural healing remedy gifted to us by Mother Earth. I think you too will become as excited by this incredible substance called shilajit as we were and are after our discovery of this amazing gift right here in beautiful, colorful Colorado. You may already know shilajit by other names: shilajit, momio, momi, mami, mineral pitch, asphaltum, and others. Shilajit literally translates to destroyer of weakness and conqueror of mountains. Shilajit has been in use for thousands of years and is considered as the highest valued cure-all of any earthly substance.
Look for the gold mountain and medical symbol logo in banners on republicbroadcasting.org to watch the full video and see more information. Use code GORBN when ordering. That's GORBN.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
Truth, truth.